What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here for hour number three. And, of course, for those of you watching on BAM User TV, this gorgeous creature sitting beside me is the lovely Lady Claire. And before we get into her talking points, though, we have two phone calls to take, and then we're probably going to close the lines for a while here. Francis in North Carolina, you had a question for me.
Yes, I do. Hello, aloha to you both. When the commentary about the military, about one gender being able to use the shower of another gender and vice versa, whatever, my question is, it sounds like there's a big uproar about men thinking that they're women going into the ladies' room and the women should put up with and so forth. My question is, what about women who think they're men and going into the men's shower and that the men should put up with that?
Well, the article didn't. The article didn't say a thing about that at all, and I can imagine because of our socialization, probably the men are a lot less comfortable having women come in and shower with them than the women are going to be having men come in and shower with them.
Well, then you might as well have a shower that both sexes can go into. That way they don't have an issue about this transsexualism and so forth, which is a lot more, I guess, a proper term than transgenderism, which is politically correct.
Well, if you're going to go that way, like I said, when I was working in Rome at a production company called SPB, they actually had a single genderless restroom area where everybody had an individual stall, but the area where you wash your hands and everything was men and women together, and actually it worked out very, very well. I think Americans are too uptight about showers and privacy in that regard anyway, certainly compared to the Europeans. Anyway, Francis, we're going to let you go. We're going to take one more phone call from Peter in Los Angeles. Peter, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I'd like to chime in on that same topic and make the point that the sociology of a small unit like a rifle squad or a platoon or whatever, it's very fragile. And sometimes you can look back in our history where very small groups of guys have made all but like the 20th Maine, I'm sure you know, Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. Really, only 200 guys may have decided, you know, what happened in the Civil War. And when you have sometimes in the past, honestly, and having been a long-time infantry guy, sometimes, you know, people hang into a position because they're proving their manhood to the people next to them. I know that sounds archaic and old school, but I've seen it, really, I've seen it. And they'll go on because they don't want to be seen as, quote, less than a man than the guy next to them.
Yes.
There's that. The other part is, let's say, for instance, that you've got this stuff and they're showering together and all that sort of deal, and it's bad enough with the rapes, taking all the rape thing out of here already, but let's take that 21-year-old E6 squad leader who's got 13 guys and he's out in contact with the enemy and who he puts on a point. And if he's diddling one of his squad mates, you know, or whatever, how is that going to upset? Is he going to put them on point? Or, you know, how is that going to upset the group dynamics? And just food for thought, I just wanted to hear what you...
Well, there have been a lot of experiments, with co-ed military, and they have not worked out very well. The Navy tried it for a while, and they had a lot of unexpected pregnancies with the attendant loss of personnel because these female personnel who'd gone through training and all the money was spent on them, and then they mustered out of the Navy with a brand new baby. It is a problem. Now, I don't have a problem with women serving in the military, but I do think the unit should be segregated for that very reason, to keep their focus on the task at hand and not dealing with these other issues on the ship. And I know I'm going to get a lot of nasty email from the feminists on that one. Anyway, Peter, we're going to let you go, and we're going to close the phone lines. Claire, what is the first thing you want to talk about?
Well, something WikiLeaks did today. Apparently, it unveiled CIA implants, or at least that's how they're describing it, that steal SSH credentials from Windows and Linux PCs. And this comes to us from the Hacker News. And today they published the 15th batch of its ongoing Vault 7 leak, which I'm sure most of us are aware of. Secure Shell, or SSH, is a cryptographic network protocol used for remote login to machines and servers securely or unsecured networks.
Over an unsecured network.
Yes. Dubbed BoffinSpy, implant for Microsoft Windows X Shell client in GearFalcon, targets the open SSH client on various distributions of Linux OS, including CentOS, Debian, RHEL, Red Hat, OpenSUSE, and Ubuntu. Both implants steal user credentials for all active SSH sessions, then send them to a CIA-controlled server. Michael, this bites. This just absolutely bites. Do we have a shout-out to do?
Yeah, we do have a quick little shout-out here to our on-air affiliates, and we are once again being joined by the lovely Lady Claire, and we're talking about the latest revelation of CIA computer skullduggery to break into your machines. Now, there is a way to get around this particular exploit, and that is to configure your server so that it only accepts a secure shell login from a specific IP, meaning your own. And so anybody trying to log in with those credentials from any other IP, they're not going to get very far.
Good. That's good for our listeners and our readers to know. Moving over to Europe, Poland wants to become the European hub for U.S. gas, according to its president, Duda. A month after the first U.S. tanker carrying liquefied natural gas arrived in Poland.
Go ahead, clear your throat. All right.
Polish President Duda has unveiled an ambitious plan to make the country a pan-European energy hub able to distribute gas across Europe. And, of course, what this is going to do is this is going to undercut completely Russian gas going to Europe. I don't think Putin's going to be very happy about this.
No, I don't think so at all. And even though it looked like Trump and Putin's meeting at the G20 went very well. Again, my concern is I don't see Trump is really totally in control of the U.S. government, and consequently, again, that explains our schizophrenic policy with China. Please, China, help us with North Korea, meanwhile overflying their islands and so forth. So, again, it's all about oil and economics and what currency the oil will be sold in.
That's true.
Because it's not a question of simply keeping Russian oil out of the European market. It is about forcing the European market to go back to needing U.S. dollars with which to buy that oil from the hub in Poland.
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting process as it moves forward. And I have to wonder what Putin is going to do to kind of work against that, or what kind of deals he can offer to Europe to make Russian oil a little bit more economical for them.
I think Putin will probably just focus more on developing markets in areas that aren't chained to the U.S. dollar. I mean, Southeast Asia, Australia, other areas. It's a complex issue, and it's going to play out over a long amount of time, but I'm sure that Putin and his government do see this as the opening salvo in yet another oil war.
Yeah.
And the reason we should be concerned is the last one really didn't work out all that well.
No, it didn't.
No.
No, definitely it didn't. Well, going back to the government and Intel, the U.S. government is being sued for information on the secretive Five Eyes intelligence group. Now, this was established at the end of World War II and includes the U.S., U.K., Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. The agreement covers how intelligence is shared, but that's about all we know about it. That could change because the U.S. government is being sued for information about the deal, officially known as the United Kingdom's United States Communication Intelligence Agreement. A U.S.-based charity, privacy...
British-based.
I'm sorry, yes, U.K.-based charity Privacy International has filed a lawsuit against the NSA, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the State Department, and the National Archives and Records Administration, which all hold information about the intelligence sharing partnership. The lawsuit follows requests for details of partnership under the U.S. Freedom of Information Act. All government agencies have rejected the request.
Imagine
Gee, you think, you know. But I wonder if they are going to get some information to find out how total and complete this info sweep is on, you know, innocent emails, office emails, and stuff that has really no relationship to national security.
Well, obviously, when the Five Eyes or Echelon was started at the end of World War II, the interception ability was very limited. Mostly, it involved eavesdropping on communication satellites that were carrying telephone and teletype traffic across the ocean. And we actually have some of those antenna farms right here on the island of Oahu, along with a brand new NSA data center, which I think is where Snowden was working. But the reason it was set up that way to share the intelligence was to get around legal restrictions in all of these five countries that said the government cannot spy on their citizens without the appropriate warrants. Here in the United States, of course, we have the Fourth Amendment guaranteeing right to privacy. So what Five Eyes was really doing, and why they've been so secretive about it, is each of these Five Eyes companies would spy on the citizens of the other countries. Then they would simply trade the data so that they could say, technically, we're not spying on our own people. We're just getting this data from these other countries that are not constrained by our privacy laws. And that was a big part of it. And over time, of course, as the NSA and CIA have developed new technologies to spy on us, Echelon has become much more potent and powerful. But its primary reason for existing is to bypass national protections on privacy.
Right, right. And it's gone a long way to really destroying the Fourth Amendment here in the United States.
We have a Fourth Amendment?
Yes, we did.
We did, okay.
We did. You know, and it seems to me silly because the bad guys have already gotten their communications encrypted. And the rest of us is just basically innocent stuff. So what do they think they're going to get when the bad guys know just to keep everything vanilla or to encrypt, and the rest of us is pretty harmless stuff? I mean, they've probably seen text from me to you, honey, we need some chips from the supermarket. I mean, in a text. But what are they going to get from that?
Well,
I mean, come on.
There's the idea of possibly catching criminals and terrorists. There is also just straight intelligence gathering, like how well the economy is doing in other countries. Are we getting accurate reports or are they lying to us? Basically keeping an eye on where the wealth is parked around the world and various other things they can collect that way. But again, all of it a violation of these laws in these countries, saying that we have a right to privacy. Until the government has evidence we've actually done something wrong, they have to mind their own business.
It's unfortunate the lawsuit did not go forward, that it was rejected by every single agency that was approached.
Well, I think you need to go back and look at that. The lawsuit is the result of the fact that all
that
of these five countries refused. Now they're basically filing the lawsuit under the Freedom of Information Act in the United States and similar laws that are in these other countries. Whether they'll actually get anything or not, it remains to be seen. But it is going to bring public attention to the fact that all of these governments are basically treating us like their property, that they're watching us all the time, they're spying on us, they consider our computers to be theirs to use, which is a violation of the Fifth Amendment in this country, which says the government cannot take your property without compensation. And here they are taking my compute cycles, my disk room, my bandwidth, and using it for their own purposes, and I'm not being compensated for it one tiny bit.
No, I hear you. So I do hope that it does go forward. I do. Apparently, getting on to economics, the financial system of the U.S. rests on the health of just five, count them five, mega banks.
Sounds dangerous.
And this would be Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, and Goldman Sachs. And according to the Office of Financial Research, looking at this, the larger the bank, the greater the potential spillover of it if it defaults. The higher its leverage, the more prone it is to default under stress. And the greater its connectivity index, the greater is the share of the default that cascades onto the banking systems. The product of these factors provides an overall measure of the contagion risk that the banks pose for the financial system. and it is huge. According to data from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, OCC, these same bank holding companies, as of March 31st of this year, were sitting on an astronomical level of derivatives. In notional face amounts of derivatives, Citigroup holds 54.8 trillion. JP Morgan Chase holds 48.6 trillion. Goldman Sachs Group has 45.6 trillion. Bank of America held 35.8 trillion, while Morgan Stanley sat on $30.8 trillion worth of derivatives. Mike, that's scary.
That is very scary, yeah. Because, again, if you look at the laws controlling derivatives, they're basically functioning as an insurance policy. But unlike regular insurance, they're not regulated. Mm-hmm. And these banks are not being asked to maintain cash reserves to make good on these derivatives if they come due. And, of course, in the 2008 meltdown, it was the derivatives that took down AIG.
Yeah. And there is also now a very clever little weasel wording when it comes to banking laws about people who just have their regular accounts, business or personal accounts, are considered fair game. If something happens to the bank, they can do a haircut.
Yes.
Against you. You know,
they've already changed all the laws.
Yeah.
If you are a customer of a bank, you are no longer an account holder. You are redefined as an unsecured investor in the bank, meaning when the bank loses money, you now legally can be forced to share in those losses. It's another reason why you shouldn't have your money in the bank anyway, other than to pay your bills.
Yeah.
And, you know, have the rest under your own control in your own home. And because when it starts to come apart, again, the poor are always made to pay for all.
Yeah, it's scary out there. And some of the economists that I'm reading say definitely before the end of the year, we're going to see a big, big collapse.
Even Ron Paul was out there saying could be 25% off the stock market, and that will be enough to trigger many of those derivatives.
Yeah. Also, there seems to be a growing gap between China and the U.S. on North Korea policy, and it seems to be widening. And a lot of tension since North Korea's recent successful ICBM test, and it looks like it splintered any sense of unity between the U.S. and China on approaching the issue.
Well, again, the U.S. sending all those ships and bombers over those islands and holding that military exercise in the area of the Indian Ocean bordering the South China Sea.
Right.
It was ridiculous to think China was going to be cooperative on North Korea at a time when the U.S. is deliberately, you know, playing picador down there in the South China Sea.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. terms it freedom of navigation, but isn't it just sort of being in someone's backyard where you have no business?
Well, freedom of navigation exercises under international law are supposed to respect the territorial waters of foreign countries, which is generally understood to be 12 nautical miles. The U.S. ship sailed within that border, signaling that the United States does not recognize those islands as Chinese sovereign territory.
Ouch.
Even though at the end of World War II, the United States did sign the Cairo Convention that did give those islands, which had been captured by Japan in World War II, back to China.
Yeah.
So, again, it's an attitude of we don't care what we said a while ago. Today we want things to be different, and we have the firepower to make it happen.
Yeah, and in particular, State Department officials have criticized China for even bringing them a proposal that would see North Korea freeze its nuclear and missile testing in return for the U.S. ending military exercises in South Korea, saying they see no equivalence. Well, if you don't have something to negotiate with, how is the other party supposed to negotiate, Mike? I mean, I can't get my head wrapped around this.
Well, unfortunately, the U.S. government has been hanging around with Israel for way too long because this is the way Israel handles the negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
You do what we want first, and then maybe we'll do something nice for you. And that's basically what it is. All right, we got to take a break for commercials. We will be right back.
Mm-hmm.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Lady Claire, what is your next story?
Well, it's a very interesting story, and one I think that we're going to see a lot more of in times to come. The Mennonite Church in America has voted yesterday to sell its holdings in companies that profit from the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories, and is the latest American Christian group to do so. It was made at their national convention in Orlando, Florida. And even though the economic impact, Mike, is not going to be big, votes like this are very closely watched as a measure of views on Israel and the Palestinian from within the U.S., the Jewish state's closest and most important ally.
As Nikki Haley keeps demonstrating over and over again.
Can't we fly her permanently to Tel Aviv, please?
I want to build a wood crate.
No.
Throw her in there with some MREs, drill some air holes.
No. Just put her on a plane. The resolution directs managers of the $3 billion Everence Church Fund to regularly screen holdings to avoid any economic support for Israeli policies in the occupied territories. They had rejected a divestment proposal at their last national meeting a couple of years ago amid fears that the resolution would be considered anti-Jewish. The statement adopted yesterday condemns anti-Semitism, encourages stronger ties between church members and Jews, and endorses a review of how Mennonites respond to the Holocaust. Now, the membership of the Mennonite Church is only about 75,000. It's not huge. But every time something like this happens, it's saying, we realize what's going on in the occupied Palestinian territories. We're not going to support it anymore. So I would like to hope that some of their sister and brother churches make the same move very soon.
And it is very important on all of this thing to emphasize that we're talking about the actions of the government of Israel.
Yeah.
This is not anti-Jewish. No. It's not anti-Semitic. Israel tries to say it is. But that's like saying that criticism of the Nazis is only because you hate the German people, which is mm-hmm. ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're talking about the actions of a very few people who are the government of a country. And we know even from our own domestic politics, the people who are in charge of countries are not always very nice people.
Nope.
And we all have a right to stand up and say, you're not being nice people.
Yeah, absolutely. And another little article I found about the Israeli military. They're starting to buy copter drones with machine guns. Gee, I wonder against whom those are going to be used. They're buying small multi-rotor drones modified to carry a machine gun, a grenade launcher, and a variety of other weapons to fight tomorrow's urban warfare battles. Their maker, Florida startup Duke Robotics, is pitching the Decad drone to the U.S. military as well. And there was an IDF colonel and a reservist in the Israeli Special Forces who co-founded the company in 2014, along with a paratrooper turned robotic engineer and another IDF buddy. And, Mike, this is going to be like shooting fish in a barrel with this kind of equipment.
It definitely is. Oh. And I remember when this company first started, they actually landed a contract with a police department in mm-hmm. one of our cities, and the outcry was so great the contract was actually canceled.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of a drone overhead with these kind of weapons, it's going to be indiscriminate fire.
Yeah.
Innocent people who are not doing anything wrong are going to be caught in this.
Yeah.
And
children,
yes.
the medically fragile elderly, women who have no connection to any violence. And it's so saddening to me that the Israeli government doesn't realize that the only settlement ultimately is going to be political and not military in nature.
Well, unfortunately, the government of Israel's agenda is to get rid of all the Palestinians and mm-hmm. grab all the land for themselves. And,
yep.
and now they're trying to grab part of Syria, the Golan.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally talking about shipping what's left of the Palestinians out to refugee camps in other countries who don't want to take them. Possibly even reposition them onto the Sinai. And Egypt hasn't said they're eager for that either.
No.
But again, Israel refuses to draw their borders, and they're constantly changing them.
Yeah. And
okay, we're going to take another break
okay.
for commercials, and we will be back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
NutraMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our
bodies. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And your next story, Claire?
A federal judge has denied Hawaii's challenge to Trump travel ban. A federal judge in Hawaii yesterday denied a motion filed by the state of Hawaii that challenged President Trump's travel ban on six Muslim-majority countries, asking to expand the exceptions for visas applicants. And the guy who did this was U.S. District Court Judge Derek Watson, and here's the irony, appointed by then-President Barack Obama in 2013, denied the emergency motion filed Wednesday that asked for a clarification of the U.S. Supreme Court's use of the phrase bona fide when describing relationships. Visa applicants from countries affected by the travel ban must now prove a bona fide familial relationship to be accepted. This is normal.
Yes.
The state argues that the White House interpreted the definition of close family members too narrowly. Hawaii's challenge sought to expand the exemptions to include grandparents, grandchildren, brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, and cousins of people currently living in the United States. And according to a report by the Associated Press, Watson said the relationship question should wait and be poised before the Supreme Court, not himself.
That's a good call.
Judge Watson,
that's a good
bravo.
Call.
Bravo, sir. Chalk one up for President Trump. I have a feeling that when this case gets heard in the fall, that they will support the travel ban. Because, as I recall, Mike, there is no mention about religion.
No, it's it's a list of specific countries that are considered a threat. And again, under Title 8, the president is allowed to just blanket block certain categories of people from immigration to this country.
Yeah.
Trump is the law's on Trump's side. And all these open border sanctuary city people, they're in violation of the law. And frankly, I think it's time to start arresting some of these mayors and governors who are doing sanctuary cities and throw them in prison, because it is a crime to offer any kind of aid or assistance to illegal immigrants. Whether it's shelter, transportation, a job, phony documents, it is a crime. And when you have a sanctuary city where you're out there saying, we're going to prevent the immigration authorities from doing their job, at the very least, that's obstruction, and it is a violation of Title VIII.
Yeah, and the thing that kills me about this is cities and states and areas of the country are already struggling with unfunded mandates. They are killing a lot of cities in this country.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I mean, it's reached the point where they're finally acknowledging and recognizing that uncontrolled immigration is threatening to tear Europe apart. The same thing could happen here in the United States.
Yeah.
We could go back to being 50 separate sovereign states, which maybe not be such a bad thing.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. And also there is the burden of diseases that have been wiped out in this country for, you know, decades, all of a sudden reemerging. Especially, I'm thinking, Minneapolis, where they've had non-treatable TB, tuberculosis, and it's resistant to any drug that we have out there.
And it's highly contagious.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you had kids going to school, would you feel a little threatened if there was that going about in your neighborhood and your kid was exposed? No, you know, this cannot continue to happen.
I'm old enough to remember when tuberculosis was still a problem in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a nasty, nasty disease. Mm-hmm. And we have now bubonic plague out in New Mexico.
Oh, man.
And again, we have way too many people in positions of power who have their dreams and their ideology, and they're totally unconcerned with the damage and the harm they are causing.
Yeah, because it never affects them in their gated communities. You know, that never happens.
True.
Yeah. I'd like to go over to something James Mattis said recently about the U.S. military remains ready for conflict with North Korea.
Here's your rifle, James.
Yeah, you know,
here's your parachute.
Following the country's latest ballistic missile test, but added that he does not believe Washington is closer to war with Pyongyang after its ICBM test. Michael, does that make any sense to you? What the heck soever?
Yeah, they're basically, it means they're starting to pull back. They can talk tough, we could still do it, but they're actually pulling back. And again, part of the problem is the missile that North Korea tested is not their longest range missile. It's actually their third.
Yep.
And they have missiles with a much longer range already in service. And even the Moscow delegation to the UN Security Council was saying it doesn't really qualify as an ICBM. It's certainly an intermediate range missile, but it's not really a globe-girdling ICBM, which is generally the accepted definition of that. And again, North Korea, like every other country, has a right to build weapons to deter invasion of their sovereign territory.
Yeah.
And North Korea has already been through an invasion of their territory by the United States once before, and they're looking at a U.S. government that is just invading and regime changing all across the globe, and they don't want to be on that list.
Yeah. The other thing he said that made me feel like we may be moving back, and this is a quote, I do not believe this capability in itself brings us closer to war, because the president's been very clear, the Secretary of State's been very clear, that we are leading with diplomatic and economic efforts. And that's what he said yesterday.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to sleep a little better tonight on that one.
He added that the diplomatic effort includes economic sanctions that are supported by the military position that we're taking right now. I mean, how much more can they I mean, they've sanctioned the banks that work with them. They've sanctioned every company that works with them. What else can they do, Mike?
Well, again, what they did not take into account is that Asian concept of face.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un cannot back down.
Mm-hmm.
He will appear weak to his own people.
Yeah.
I wish he would not be quite as provocative with what he's saying, but then maybe he's not really saying it anyway, and we're just getting another creative translation in the corporate media. Remember when they were telling us all that Ahmadinejad said they're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and it turned out that wasn't what he'd said at all. So we have to be very, very careful of that. And by the way, a lot of people sent in more videos about what life is really like in North Korea, and they're now on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. You will be surprised. Okay, and it just underscores the fact that everything you think you know about North Korea was told to you by the same people who told you Saddam had nuclear weapons, Assad was gassing his own people, the Lusitania wasn't carrying weapons, Pearl Harbor was a surprise, there were torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin, Spanish mine in Havana Harbor, and on and on and on and on and on.
Et cetera.
How many more times do you have to be lied to before you're going to stand up and say, I'm mad as heck, and I'm not listening to you anymore?
And you know something, I will have to tell you, I think I've mentioned it on air before, Tehran in Iran is on my bucket list.
Yes.
Because of the art, the music, the fact that I, as a Christian, can go to an English-speaking Christian church and worship there.
One of the oldest operating, continuous operating synagogues in the world is in Iran.
Oh, yeah.
And again, this idea that the Iranians want a new Holocaust.
No.
Why aren't they starting with the people that are already inside their own borders? I mean, remember when Israel went over to Iran and they tried to offer financial incentives for the Jews living in Iran to move to Israel? And the Iranian Jews said, no, we're comfortable here.
Yeah.
We've got good businesses. We got friends.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us to leave.
Yeah.
We're very happy here.
Yeah.
There's another video out there called Don't Tell Mother I'm in Iran.
Oh, it's great.
It is. It's a great behind the scenes. And again, a reminder, what you think you know about Iran is another corporate media crafted lie.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to swing over to Syria to point to what I think is a very positive sign. Syrians are now beginning to return home.
Yes.
After 6 years of fighting a brutal and long war against foreign-backed terrorist proxy forces, the Syrian army and its allies have made significant gains in recent months. The Syrian army's recent triumphs include liberating many areas in the Homs province, reaching the Iraqi border in what was described as a strategic turning point in the war. In addition to securing the Aleppo province from ISIS, it is clear that the Syrian army has the upper hand in the conflict, a fact that the hawks in Washington, Brussels, Riyadh, and Tel Aviv find very difficult to stomach. And as they continue to prevail on the ground, we're looking at hundreds of thousands of Syrians beginning to feel it's safe enough for me and my family to return home. And as Andres Mahisic, the spokesperson for the UN High Commission for Refugees, the UN Refugee Agency, said in a press briefing at the end of June that many Syrians are returning to their homes, partially due to a real or perceived improvement in security conditions in many regions that have been recently liberated. The UNHC is seeing a notable trend of spontaneous returns to and within Syria in 2017. Aid agencies estimate that more than 440,000 internally displaced people have returned to their homes in Syria during the first 6 months of this year. In parallel, the UNHCR has monitored over 31,000 Syrian refugees returning from neighboring countries so far in 2017. Now, Mike, I think this is a good thing.
So obviously, it's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. When people feel safe enough to return home after a six-year brutal civil war that was generated from the outside, yeah. I hope that more of them are able to return as the Syrian army is able to liberate more territory.
I'll tell you one thing. George Soros won't be buying them a return ticket from Europe.
No.
All the money to get them over there, I'm not sending you home. You walk home.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, dear. Mr. George Soros, a very interesting human being. Oh, I thought this was funny. Well, we've known since the election that the Clintonistas could not take any responsibility for her having lost the election.
Yes.
So they're in their own blame game. Well, now the blame game is being upped. Bitter Clinton supporters try to unseat Bernie Sanders in Senate race. Oh, the irony. Vermont resident John Svitovsky announced on July 5th that he is challenging Senator Bernie Sanders in his upcoming re-election in 2018. In his most recent race for re-election, Sanders won over 71% of the vote, and the Democratic Party didn't bother to run a candidate. In the 2016 presidential primary, Sanders received over 86% of the vote in Vermont. Among the small percentage of people who voted for Hillary in the state was Svitovsky, a homeless shelter director who was beginning to receive support from other disgruntled Clinton supporters across the country. Like it's Bernie Sanders' fault she lost the election when she stole it from him. I mean, come on, Mike.
There's another possibility, which is that they want Bernie Sanders out of the way of any potential Democratic challenger to Trump in 2020.
Okay.
Because even the Democrats, they did not want Bernie Sanders any more than they wanted Trump. I mean, I find it difficult to believe that Hillary would actually try and run again in 2020.
Yeah.
But she might, and they'll just double up on the vote fraud again, which is why Trump's Commission on Election Integrity has got to do their job and actually crack down on all of this nonsense.
And the article continues, though Sanders enjoys overwhelming support in his home state, his political opponents from around the country have isolated and built up naysayers to diminish his popularity. In June 2016, NBC host Joy Reid did a profile in the Daily Beast on Al Giordano, an anti-Sanders troll who gained a sizable following of Clinton supporters on Twitter during the primaries. Giordano claimed that he would run against Sanders, but in 2018 has yet to file and currently resides in Mexico City. In February 2016, the Daily Beast ran a hit piece meaning to perpetuate the whitewashing of Sanders' presidential campaign. It featured an interview with a black Vermont resident who claimed Sanders ignored the black community in the state. In October 2016, Politico ran an article featuring quotes from several Vermont Democrats complaining that Sanders wasn't helping Democrats in Vermont, despite the fact that Sanders had made several appearances around the country to campaign on behalf of Hillary Clinton. And now, Svitovsky, a Democrat from Bridgeport, Vermont, is trying to make another case against Sanders. Boy, talk about bitter grapes, Michael.
Whoa. I don't think it's bitter grapes. And when you look at that investigation into Sanders' wife, which Sanders insists is politically motivated, he may actually be right. This is too well organized and too widespread.
Okay.
They're trying to get Sanders out of the way of whoever it is they're going to run against Trump in 2020. That's what this is about.
That certainly makes sense. And apparently with Loretta Lynch, the plot is beginning to thicken as new details emerge of her dealings with the Hillary campaign. This comes to us from Zero Hedge. It's very interesting, and you've touched on this several times.
Yes.
The DNC has failed to cooperate with the Russia investigators by handing over their infamous email server either to FBI or Robert Mueller's team. And if they're going to claim Russian hacking, why are they so terrified about Mueller or the FBI getting, you know, those emails?
Well, that's like you call the police and say, my house was robbed by my neighbor, and the police show up, and you say, well, you can't come in, you can't collect any evidence, just take my word for it, I've been robbed, and my neighbor did it.
Yeah.
And it is so obvious, you know, Trump tweeted out, apparently he is being asked about this by many of the other world leaders at the G20, and he tweeted that out, and apparently Joe Scarborough had an instant meltdown saying, oh, you know, Trump is mentally ill for still thinking about this.
But I think that Loretta Lynch is not going to leave the situation with a lot of credibility left. And you have to wonder, with the stonewalling from the DNC, if this just might have something to do with this purely coincidental meeting between Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton on a tarmac in Phoenix, and or her assurances to members of Clinton's campaign that the FBI's investigation, or matter, if you prefer, of Hillary Clinton wouldn't go too far.
Now, she's now denying that she ever said that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's apparently it's on a paper document.
Yeah.
And, of course, the purely coincidental timing when Seth Rich was assassinated by a professional hitman, according to the Profile Project, was when the leaks from the DNC servers stopped.
Yeah, yeah. And as they've reported before, statement seems to contradict reports that Lynch personally assured members of Hillary Clinton's campaign, potentially Amanda Renteria, that the FBI's investigation wouldn't go too far. And apparently when Loretta Lynch testified last year about her decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton for mishandling classified information, she swore she never talked to anyone on the Clinton campaign. That categorical denial, though, made in response to a series of questions about whether she spoke with the Clinton world about remaining attorney general if Hillary won the election, could come back to haunt her. Couldn't happen to a more deserving human being,
well,
I think.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And again, I don't think the narcocracy has ever been as exposed and vulnerable as it is right now. And,
right.
of course, that's why they are so upset with Donald Trump. All right, we've got to take a break for commercials. Mm-hmm. Back with the last segment of our program today after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at WhatReallyHappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our Powhana Friday program here. And lovely Lady Claire, what do you want to talk about now?
Well, I want to talk about one of the good fallouts from the meeting between Putin and Trump. Apparently, a U.S. Special Representative for the Ukraine negotiations was appointed by the U.S. today upon the request of Russian President Vladimir Putin, according to the U.S. Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. The U.S. Special Representative for the Ukraine negotiations was appointed by the United States, and at his request, and the announcement is going to have the Special Representative for Ukraine be Ambassador Kurt Volker. And Ambassador Volker is an old hand in geopolitics and apparently very experienced, and hopefully he can manage to tamp down what is going on in the eastern Ukraine. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, again, the issue is that the U.S. went on in and they mucked up Ukraine with that coup d'etat in Kiev.
Right.
And they, I think they're starting to understand that we have edged a little too close to war with Russia, and that they need to back off there. At this point, there's nothing left in Ukraine anybody really wants, and they're starting to be talk about maybe pulling back from this idea of Ukraine joining the EU or joining NATO. And so it really was all for naught.
Yeah.
And again, we don't know what was actually said between Trump and Putin. Putin may have gone on in there and simply said, you need to understand, we're going to stay as long as you are in both Syria and Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And Trump may have understood that what Putin is talking about is a war of attrition, which the United States is ill-equipped to survive right now. That's what happened in Vietnam. They just kept up the fighting and wore us down until we had to quit. And so hopefully sanity is going to prevail, and they're going to pull on back, and that does leave the U.S. government with a real problem. They don't have a major war on which to blame the coming economic crash or distract from it.
Yep.
And so when the economy does come apart, we, the American people, are going to stand up there and we're going to point our fingers at those who really deserve the blame, which is the Wall Street money junkies and their enablers on Capitol Hill. And, well, we should. Well, we should as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hopeful for these talks between Putin and Trump, and I have a feeling that the men kind of got a measure of each other. And it was a good one.
The sense I got from the video of them shaking hands was that they were meeting as potentially friends, and there's a lot of mutual respect there, which is something Putin certainly did not get from Obama.
Oh, no.
And I think that's, again, that's a very important aspect in the Russian culture, that you treat as equals with mutual respect, and everything's going to work on out. You come on in trying to bluff your way through, especially against a chess master.
Yes.
Like Putin, you're going to be in trouble. All right, well, we're coming up here on the end of the program, and we want you to have a really good weekend, very safe weekend, very relaxing weekend. Share what you know from our website with everybody, and do make a point of staying tuned, because John Stedmiller's program is coming on up, and there's going to be a lot more interesting information there as well.
Right.
So we'll see you all on Monday here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and Aloha America.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.